A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know, Korn, this whole show runs on GPU compute, and we wouldn't be here without Modal.
Seriously. And that's what powers all our text-to-speech. Everything you're hearing right now.
They're an AI infrastructure platform. Developers use them to run GPU workloads in the cloud with zero infrastructure headache.
If you're building anything with AI, check them out. Modal.com. Daniel sent us this one, and it's a good one. He's been running this show on Modal using an A100 GPU, and each episode clocks in at around 20 minutes of wall time. 90% of that is the text-to-speech layer. Chatterbox doing its thing. LLM calls go through OpenRouter. He's already trimmed the fat in a few places, and now he wants to go further. Specifically, batch processing to cut cold starts, maybe spinning up dedicated capacity for short bursts, queue management for long-running jobs. The core tension is this. You want state-of-the-art models generating the script, but you also don't want the infrastructure bill eating the whole operation. How do you hold both of those at once?
That tension is real, not hypothetical. The interesting thing is that the instinct most people have, which is just to throw better hardware at the problem, actually makes it worse if you're not careful. You can spin up an H100, feel great about your throughput, and then look at the invoice and realize you've been paying for capacity you used for about 11 minutes out of every hour.
Which is the serverless paradox in a nutshell. You're paying for the ceiling, not the floor.
And for a production pipeline like this one, where the workload is episodic rather than continuous, that ceiling can be very expensive air. By the way, today's episode is powered by Claude Sonnet 4.6.
The friendly AI down the road doing the heavy lifting. Right, so let's get into it.
The pipeline itself is worth mapping clearly, because where the time goes is not where most people assume. You've got two distinct cost centers. The LLM calls through OpenRouter, which are generating the script, doing the research synthesis, handling the structure. Those are relatively cheap and fast. Then you've got Chatterbox running TTS on the A100, and that's where 18 of your 20 minutes lives.
Which means the script generation is almost rounding error by comparison.
And that asymmetry matters a lot for how you think about optimization. If you're trying to cut costs and you spend your energy squeezing the OpenRouter side, you're optimizing the 10%. The leverage is entirely on the TTS layer.
What makes TTS so hungry? It's not like it's doing reasoning. It's converting text to audio.
It's the sequential nature of it and the model size required to get quality output. Chatterbox isn't a small model. You need enough capacity to produce natural-sounding speech with consistent voice characteristics across a 30-minute episode, and that means you're running a fairly substantial inference workload, serially, sentence by sentence, or chunk by chunk. You can't easily parallelize it the way you might parallelize something like image generation.
You've got a big model running sequentially on hardware that charges by the second.
The A100 is genuinely well-matched for that workload, which is the right call. The problem isn't the GPU choice. The problem is what happens at the edges of the job. The startup, the teardown, the idle time between runs. That's where the money leaks.
The meter running while nothing's happening.
And for an episodic workload, you might be producing one episode, then nothing for a few hours, then another. Each of those jobs is paying that startup cost independently. That's the problem batch processing is designed to solve. But to really understand why batch processing works, you need to dig into what that startup overhead actually involves.
Right. So what does that overhead look like in practice? I think when people hear cold start, they imagine something like a slow website loading. But there's a lot more going on under the hood.
There's a lot more going on. A cold start in this context means the platform needs to provision a container, pull the model weights from storage into GPU memory, initialize the runtime, and then your job can actually begin. For something like Chatterbox on an A100, you're looking at model weights that are several gigabytes. Pulling those into VRAM is not instant. You could easily be paying for 30 to 60 seconds of GPU time before the first word of audio is synthesized.
That's per job.
Per job, every time. If you're running one episode at a time with cold infrastructure, that cost is just baked in. You're paying it regardless of whether the episode is 5 minutes or 50. It's a fixed overhead that doesn't scale with the work you actually need done.
The naive approach. One job, one spin up, one tear down. You're essentially paying a cold start tax on every single episode.
And the fix is conceptually simple, which is why batch processing is the first thing worth reaching for. If you queue 10 episodes and run them consecutively inside a single container session, you pay the cold start cost once instead of 10 times. The model weights are already in VRAM from the first job. The runtime is warm. Each subsequent episode is just more work for an already running process.
That's a meaningful difference. If cold start is 60 seconds on a GPU that costs, say, $3 an hour, you're paying 5 cents per cold start. Across 10 episodes, that's 50 cents just in overhead you've eliminated.
At scale, it compounds. There was a comparison in a serverless GPU platform analysis I came across that flagged utilization thresholds as the key variable. Once your utilization exceeds around 40 to 50%, the economics of serverless start to look less favorable compared to dedicated capacity. But below that threshold, serverless with smart batching is usually the better call.
Which is exactly the episodic production situation. You're not running continuously, you're running in bursts.
Bursts with predictable structure, which is actually the best case for batch optimization. You know roughly how long each episode takes. You know the jobs are similar in shape. That predictability lets you schedule intelligently rather than just hoping the platform warms up fast.
What about the dedicated GPU option, though? Because Daniel mentioned spinning up dedicated capacity for short periods. When does that make sense over serverless batching?
It makes sense when your burst is large enough and long enough that the per second serverless rate exceeds what a short-term dedicated reservation would cost. The math is roughly, if you're going to run continuously for more than 2 or 3 hours, a dedicated instance starts to look competitive. Below that, serverless with batch jobs is almost always cheaper because you're only paying for active compute.
For a 50-episode backlog, dedicated might pencil out. For a weekly production run of 1 or 2 episodes, probably not.
That's the shape of it. And there's a hidden cost to dedicated that people underestimate, which is that you're on the hook for that instance whether your jobs finish early or you hit an unexpected error partway through. With serverless, if something breaks at episode 7, you stop paying at episode 7.
The failure cost is bounded.
Bounded and immediate. The other thing worth saying about batch processing is that it's not just a cost play. Running jobs consecutively in a warm container also tends to improve consistency. You're using the same model state, the same runtime environment. For TTS especially, that can matter for voice coherence across a production run.
I wouldn't have thought of that angle. The quality argument for batching, not just the cost argument.
It's underappreciated. Most people frame it purely as a billing optimization, but for a podcast pipeline where voice consistency matters across episodes, there's a real production quality case too, and that's where queue management comes into play.
Batching is one thing, but if you've got jobs of different sizes or different priorities, the order you run them in starts to matter.
It matters more than people realize. The naive queue is just first in, first out, which works fine when all your jobs are roughly the same shape. But a podcast pipeline isn't always that uniform. You might have a standard episode, a shorter bonus cut, a long-form deep dive. If your long-form job sits at the front of the queue, everything behind it waits, even if those shorter jobs could have cleared in a fraction of the time.
You're blocking fast jobs behind slow ones.
Right, and on a per-second billing model, that idle waiting has a cost. There was a scheduling study I came across recently that looked at service-level objective. Aware elastic scheduling for serverless multi-job workloads. Their finding was that intelligent queue prioritization, basically routing shorter or time-sensitive jobs ahead of longer ones when possible, reduced per-request costs by around 27% while improving overall GPU utilization.
27% is not a rounding error.
Not at all. And the mechanism is straightforward. You're keeping the GPU busy with useful work instead of waiting on a single long job to clear before anything else can run. It's the same logic as a grocery store opening the express lane. The big cart doesn't disappear, it just doesn't block everyone else.
That's the one analogy I'll allow this episode.
I'll take it. The practical implementation for something like Daniel's pipeline would be tagging jobs by estimated duration at submission time. you know roughly how long a 30-minute episode takes versus a 15-minute one. You can use that estimate to sort the queue intelligently, run the shorter jobs and gaps, and keep the GPU utilization rate high throughout the batch window.
If the estimate is wrong?
The estimate doesn't need to be perfect, it just needs to be directionally accurate enough to avoid the worst-case blocking scenarios. Even rough bucketing, short, medium, long, gets you most of the benefit.
Alright, so we've talked about cold starts, batching, queue ordering. What about the model side? Because one thing Daniel mentioned was using cost-efficient models where possible. Where's the line between saving money and degrading the output?
This is where it gets interesting, because the answer is different for different stages of the pipeline. The script generator is the one place where you don't want to compromise. The quality of the writing is the product. You cut corners there, and the listener notices immediately.
Which is presumably why Daniel's keeping the state-of-the-art model on that layer.
But TTS has a different profile. The final episode audio needs to be high quality, but there are intermediate steps where you don't actually need that. Think about the draft review cycle. If you're generating a rough version of an episode to check structure, catch errors, confirm the script works before committing to the full production run, you don't need Chatterbox on an A100 for that. A smaller, faster, cheaper TTS model gets you something listenable enough to review.
You're running a two-tier TTS strategy. Cheap model for drafts, full model for finals.
And the savings can be substantial because draft generation might happen multiple times per episode during iteration, while the final render happens once. If you can offload 3 or 4 draft passes to a model that costs a fraction of the price, you've reduced your effective TTS spend considerably without touching the output quality the listener actually hears.
Is there a quality floor on the draft tier? Like, how degraded can it be before it stops being useful for review?
You need it intelligible and roughly correct in pacing. You don't need natural prosody. You don't need the voice characteristics to be perfect. If the reviewer can tell where the script is clunky or where a line doesn't land, the draft has done its job. That's a much lower bar than broadcast quality.
Which means a lot more models clear it.
A lot more models, and a lot more GPU options too. A draft pass might run fine on a T4 or an A10G, which are substantially cheaper than an A100. You're matching the hardware to the actual requirement rather than defaulting to the biggest thing available.
Okay, so let's put this together with the 50-episode backlog scenario. Because that's a real situation, maybe you've got a catalog to build out, or you're doing a production sprint. What does an optimized run of that scale actually look like?
You've got 50 episodes. First decision is whether to batch them all in one dedicated instance or run them in serverless batches. At 50 episodes, each averaging 20 minutes of wall time, you're looking at roughly 16 to 17 hours of total compute. That's well past the 2 to 3 hour threshold where dedicated starts to look competitive.
Dedicated makes sense here.
Dedicated, or a very long-running serverless session with keep-alive logic to prevent the container from spinning down between jobs. The risk with serverless at that scale is that if the platform recycles your container mid-batch, you eat another cold start. With a dedicated instance, you control that.
You're not paying for idle time if you've queued the jobs tightly.
Right? The key is having the queue preloaded before you spin up. You don't want to provision the instance and then spend 10 minutes uploading scripts. Have everything staged, hit go, let it run. For 50 episodes, even a modest queue optimization, running short episodes first to clear the backlog quickly, keeping the GPU saturated throughout, you're looking at meaningfully better utilization than a naive sequential run.
What's the realistic utilization rate on a well-optimized batch like that versus an unoptimized one?
Unoptimized, you might see effective utilization in the 50 to 60% range because of the gaps, the startup overhead, the teardown between jobs. Well-optimized batching with good queue management, you can push that above 80%. And since you're paying for the instance regardless, every percentage point of utilization is work you're getting for free relative to the idle time you've eliminated.
That's the actual lever, not the per second rate, but how much of every second you're actually using.
That's the whole game, really. The per second rate is largely fixed by the platform and the hardware tier. What you control is the denominator, how much useful work you extract from each second you're paying for.
Right. And that brings us to the practical question for someone sitting on a pipeline like Daniel's. Where do you actually start? Because we've covered a lot of ground, some of it requires infrastructure changes, some of it is just scheduling logic.
The lowest friction starting point is almost always the batch job change. You don't need to reconfigure anything about your platform. You don't need to change models or write new queue management code. You just stop submitting episodes one at a time and start grouping them. Even two or three episodes queued back-to-back in a single container session cuts your cold start overhead dramatically. That's a change you can make today.
The savings are front-loaded. The first cold start in a batch is unavoidable. Everything after it is essentially free overhead.
The second and third jobs in the batch inherit a warm container. So, if cold start costs you 30 to 60 seconds of paid idle time per job, and you're batching 5 episodes, you've just recovered 3 to 4 minutes of compute you were previously giving away.
The second thing is queue ordering, which you said earlier requires roughly knowing your job sizes going in.
That's not hard to estimate for a podcast pipeline. You know your target episode length. You know roughly how long TTS takes per minute of audio. You can tag jobs at submission time with a rough duration estimate and let the scheduler do the rest. It doesn't require a sophisticated system. A simple priority sort by estimated duration, shortest first, gets you most of the 27% efficiency gain without building anything elaborate.
Which leaves the bigger architectural question. Audit what you're actually paying for. Because I suspect most people running pipelines like this have never looked at their utilization numbers directly.
That's the honest truth. Modal and most serverless platforms surface per job cost data. If you pull a week of production runs and look at the ratio of active compute time to total build time, you'll see exactly where the waste is. If your utilization is sitting at 50%, half your spend is overhead. That number tells you how aggressively to pursue batching and queue optimization.
If it's already at 80%, you're probably not leaving much on the table.
Then your next move is the model tier question. Look at whether you're running draft passes through the same model as your finals. If you are, that's a straightforward swap. Route anything that doesn't go to air through a cheaper TTS option on a lighter GPU, and reserve the A100 and Chatterbox for the render that actually matters.
Batch your jobs. Sort your queue. Audit your model tiers against what each stage actually requires. None of that needs a platform migration or a major refactor.
The compounding effect is real. Each optimization multiplies with the others. Batching improves utilization. Better utilization makes queue prioritization more effective. Cheaper draft models reduce the total volume of work hitting your expensive hardware. You don't need all three at once, but they reinforce each other once you start stacking them, which means the ceiling for efficiency gets pushed higher and higher.
And that ceiling lands somewhere really interesting. Because those three moves aren't exclusive to podcast production. They're available to basically any creator running a production pipeline. Anyone doing batch video rendering, batch image generation, or any episodic AI workload with predictable structure can apply the same logic.
The pattern generalizes really cleanly. The reason it works for Daniel's setup is that the workload is episodic and the jobs are roughly similar in shape. That's true for a lot of creative production pipelines. Once you recognize that structure, the optimization toolkit is the same.
The forward question is, does any of this matter less over time as GPU prices drop? Because there's an argument that we're just optimizing around a cost problem that hardware progress is going to solve anyway.
I think that argument is half right. GPU prices have been coming down, and they'll continue to. But the models consuming those GPUs keep growing too. The workload expands to fill the available capacity. 5 years from now, the TTS model doing the equivalent job might be substantially larger and more capable, and you'll be back to paying similar compute costs for better output. The optimization discipline doesn't become obsolete. The ceiling just moves up.
The democratization argument cuts both ways, then. Better hardware makes this accessible to more creators, but the state of the art keeps pulling ahead and the cost to reach it stays roughly anchored.
What actually democratizes it is the efficiency knowledge. The creator who understands batching, queue management, model tiering, they can produce at a quality level that used to require serious infrastructure spend, and they can do it on a shoestring. That's the real shift. It's not that the hardware gets cheap, it's that the knowledge of how to use it efficiently becomes widespread.
Which is a reasonable note to leave people on. The hardware is a commodity. The optimization layer is where the leverage lives.
It's learnable. None of what we've talked about today requires a systems engineering background. It requires understanding your own pipeline well enough to know where the time and money are actually going.
Big thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and to Modal for keeping the lights on, and in our case, the GPUs warm. This episode runs on their platform, and we mean it when we say they're worth a look. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at My Weird Prompts.
See you next time.
This episode's script was written by Claude Sonnet 4.6 with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My Weird Prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My Weird Prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.